Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed. There is a line in the Old Testament. It's not a big, bold line, but it's definitely one that is noted. Between the time that Israel, God's ancient people, had kings, and when, before, they didn't have kings. And standing right on that line is a man named Saul. He is the first king of Israel. He's a pretty likely candidate in a lot of ways. Quite a warrior, man of stature. He even has prophetic gifts, so he seems to fit the bill altogether. But he ends as poorly as any kingdom, as any reign can end. And before he's even out of office, there's already been his successor appointed and acknowledged both popularly and theologically as the true anointed one of Israel, the true king. We're going to be talking about Saul becoming king on this Tuesday afternoon, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll be in 1 Samuel 8 through 10, also a little bit of 1 Samuel 11. Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
So Saul turns out badly, but I guess to kind of frame this properly, is that a foregone conclusion? Is Saul necessarily, from the beginning, kind of fated to be a failed king and rejected by God? Is he God's first choice?
He's not God's choice at all, because God was the king at the time, and there were a number of circumstances that occurred that moved the people to want a king. And as God himself tells Samuel, that is a rejection not of Samuel, but of God himself. It came about because, unfortunately, Samuel's experience with Eli, where Eli's sons went against their father and began to use what was in the sacrificial things and such like that wrongly, same happened with Samuel's sons. In fact, even though their names are very holy names, verse 3 just simply says in verse 8, chapter 8, his sons did not walk in the ways, but turned aside after gain. They were taking bribes, they were perverting justice. So the elders of Israel, they came to Samuel and said, you know, because of the way your sons are, we want you to appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. And this becomes a prime motivation that all the other nations had kings, but Israel didn't have a physical, visible king. Samuel was not really a king as he was a judge, although he was ruler over the area at this time. But they wanted somebody that was visible, maybe with pomp and circumstance. And therefore, when Samuel goes to the Lord, guess what the Lord says? Obey the voice of the people, for they have not rejected you. They have rejected me from being king over them. That's verse 7 of chapter 8.
So this is not something God wants from the beginning, but is it safe to say, Tom, that he permits it?
Yes. It's the same as saying, from the beginning, God really did not want to have to put his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. But because of Adam and Eve and their sinful desires, God then permits to allow the Jews and the Romans to physically arrest the Son of God, put him on a cross, and crucify him. So we need to be very careful here in making the distinction between God's foreknowledge and that which he predestines. Once he understood the foreknowledge that Adam and Eve with free will would fall into sin, then he predestines that he himself would become incarnate and die on a cross for their sin. He knew the people of Israel were going to want a king, and so God isn't going to give them the worst person. He's going to give them the best, but he's going to warn them, here's what's going to happen because of your desire for a king.
So tell us the story. It's a long story. It takes several chapters to tell in 1 Samuel, but how would you tell the story of Saul becoming king?
God indicates to Samuel that he needs to go and choose a man to be king. Now, before he does that, he warns the people. And this is really important in chapter 8. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of 50, some to plow the ground, to reap the harvest, to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to the officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. Now, verse 18 is really critical. And in that day, God is still speaking here, you will cry out because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. I think one of the primary distinctions the Sunday school teachers need to get across to the students is the distinction between the will of God and the promises of God. What I mean by that is God's will was for Israel not to have a king except himself. But once his will was broken, and we can break the will of God, then God still would keep his promises, namely the line going toward Jesus and the many promises that God gives to his people. So you cannot break a promise of God, but you can go against the will of God. And when you do so, he will show you the kinds of things that will happen to you when you disobey his will. And yet his promises will still be there. In other words, God didn't go out and find the worst looking man and someone who would be absolutely a disaster as king. He set up the best that was available at that time, and due to circumstances, as we well know, Saul, the new king, ended up falling away from the Lord also.
So God doesn't, you know, try and prove them wrong. He does, in fact, at least in a human sense, give them Saul, who is, by all accounts, truly qualified to lead his people.
Yes, he's truly qualified because not only when he is first approached is he humble, he says, you know, I'm from a tribe that's not that important a tribe. Why are you asking me to be king? He does not want the kingship. He is a hard worker for his father. And at first he returns home to his farm. He is a great warrior against the Ammonites. And in other chapters, when he wins wars, like in chapter 11, verse 13, he gives God the credit. And he also forgives those who were not originally with him. Some of the other people want to say, let's kill these people. They weren't for you for king. He says, no, let no one die on this day. And yet, Saul's fall is well documented also. He gives wrongful sacrifice. He disobeys God's command about the Amalekites. He practices witchcraft. And also, he has that battlefield suicide. So, in a sense, one can almost point to the cross. It is not God's will that his son die on a cross. But he allows it, and he permits it, and he works it out to the good of the people. because by that death on the cross, our sins are forgiven. Heaven is our home. We are righteous in God's sight. So this is an important point to get across to the children in the Sunday school class, that sometimes God permits you to receive something that is not good for you. But he does that to wake you up to his proper will, and he still keeps his promises over the children because of their baptism, that he will watch over them and never leave them nor forsake them.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 25th, Saul becoming king in 1 Samuel chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11. I'm Todd Wilkin. More with Tom right after this.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, "A Changeless Christ for a Changing World." While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Service Book has been in use now for an entire decade, and we at Concordia Theological Seminary felt it was a good time to give some consideration of what we've learned in the process of using that hymnal for 10 years.
Dr. Paul Grimm talking about the Good Shepherd Institute Conference, November 6th through the 8th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're bringing together a number of people who were involved in the project, as well as other pastors and musicians who have used the hymnal for 10 years, with the goal that together we can consider even more deeply how this hymnal has affected our church body and its gathering together Sunday after Sunday as we receive the gifts of God in the divine service and return our thanks and praise for his wondrous deeds.
Lutheran Service Book at 10 Years is the theme for the 17th Annual Good Shepherd Institute Conference, November 6th through the 8th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ctsfw.edu or call 262-452-2224. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on Saul becoming king in 1 Samuel chapters 8 through 11. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You can find a link to Law and Gospel, Tom's radio show, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, let's talk a little bit about, he has this early success as a warrior, but In the end, you mentioned before the break, it's actually not his failure to be a mighty man that does Saul in. It is, in fact, his idolatry. He eventually, just like the people that he rules, rejects God as king, doesn't he?
Yes. And this is a common thing that happens often among spiritual leaders. They get such a high regard of themselves that they seem to have no problem in speaking out against God. I'll give you one of the best examples everybody knows about. Who would ever think that Peter would speak against God? And yet, when Jesus says to his disciples, I need to get to Jerusalem, I will be crucified. 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. Peter says, not so, Lord. You know, he'll protect his Lord. And Jesus has to turn to him and say, get thee behind me, Satan. And there are a number of instances when that occurs. Even after Pentecost, is it not Peter who refuses to eat with the Jews and the Gentiles together when the Jews from Jerusalem come to town? And Paul has to therefore tell him that what he is doing is going against the cross of Christ, because in Christ there is no more a distinction between Jew and Gentile, male or female, slave or free. So we ought not be surprised. It's a rare person. Martin Luther once wrote that if you're ever going to be electing someone for office and you're looking to get somebody who's a perfect Christian and a wonderful individual, man or woman, guess what? That will be a miracle. And we see it again and again that God works through fallen individuals to accomplish his purposes. And even when the people go against the will of God, he at times will permit it, just like a parent will permit a child to do something they know is going to be harmful to them, maybe not physically harm, but harmful to their ego in order to teach them a lesson. And God is doing this all the time.
So what's the basic law and gospel for the Sunday school kids on the story of Saul becoming king?
That even when we make a mistake, as the people of God did, God will still help us through that error. And Saul became a wonderful king at first. A lot of the problems were solved. And in fact, he even tells Samuel that he will be the king who will beat out the Philistines. And that's really one of the folks that the people of Israel were very much afraid of. And so he will be a prince over my people. In fact, it's important to understand verse 16 of chapter 9. God says, he shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people, because their cry has come to me. Now, they're crying that God would help them, while at the same time they're saying, we want a different king than God. We want to be like all the other nations. Does one understand the long-suffering of God, his patience, his love for his people? And wonderful parents will do that at times. They'll allow their children to go in a direction that they know they shouldn't be going, but they will be standing by, knowing that when whatever happens that's negative, they'll still be there with their children. But they do so, if they're young enough, in order to teach them a lesson and also to make them stronger in the future. I mean, there's certain things all of us can remember we once did, and then when we had the consequences come to us, boy, we're never going to do that again. Last night I was watching Cops, and this young man was rushing through the city on a motorcycle without a helmet on, and he got pulled over. And he had a wife and a child that the police brought before him, and they said to him, look it, next time you think you want to do this, think of these two people. And it really did have an impact on him, because it seemed like it changed his mind. He said, I will not do this again. There's an example where God allowed him to have a motorcycle, go over the speed limit, almost have an accident, but then seeing the consequences, they that particular person came around to a right understanding of what the will of God was.
So then, Tom, with about 30 seconds here, we're watching God keep a promise, because eventually he will promise that someone's going to sit on Saul's successor's throne forever, David's throne forever, namely Jesus himself. About 30 seconds for your thoughts.
And to get to Jesus, we have to go through David. Well, guess what? Once more, Saul does things that are inappropriate. So God takes care of his people by choosing another king to succeed David. And the house of David is from where the Messiah is going to come. But guess what? He certainly isn't the Messiah. Just ask Bathsheba about that. And that's why the only Savior is the sinless one, Jesus Christ, who became incarnate, who became sin for us, that he might die for our sins, and that we, through faith in him, are now declared righteous in the sight of God.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for your time this afternoon.
And thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time doing what we've been doing this week so far, looking at Luther's inner circle. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week, and on this Tuesday, we're going to look at Luther's fellow reformer, Philip Melanchthon, without which the Reformation just wouldn't have been what it was. Luther is vital. Philip Melanchthon is as vital as well. Dr. Ken Cherb joins us for Issues Etc. Reformation Week right after this.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.